Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to the Chronicles of Nannia, a nanny resource podcast made for nannies by me, a nanny. I am your host, Martha Reddick, and this week we are going to be talking about no equipment required games to play with your nanny kids. And to do that, I have brought back on the wonderful Sarah George. Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Martha.
How are you?
I am doing wonderful.
I'm so glad to hear that. So to remind anyone who's listened before, or if I have a new listener, Sarah and I met in person at Nanny Palooza, but we had become Instagram friends, and she's been a supporter of the podcast for a long time, and she's a wonderful nanny, and I'm so pleased to have you back on.
Oh, thank you so much, Martha.
You're welcome.
Happy to be back.
Yeah. And so just quickly, since this is your third episode, which is wonderful, if you can give us like a quick background of your nanny journey.
Okay. I was born and raised in St. Louis, and I've been a nanny for about 5 years. I am currently working with a 2-year-old and a 7-month-old.
Oh, yeah, that is that's so cute. yeah, if you as a listener are thinking to yourself, "Wow, two under two, that's crazy," go listen to Sarah's 2 under 2 episode because it's a really good one that offers a lot of really good advice about how to manage two little ones that are under 2 years old.
Very cute, but it's a lot.
Yeah, for sure. So this episode actually Sarah thought of and was like, you should do an episode about no equipment required games, because as nannies, especially around this Christmas season, we know that toys like pile in to our nanny houses. Our kids are all so lucky and loved, and it's wonderful, but the toys get old so quickly to kids sometimes. Mm-hmm. There's some that stick around and like they use frequently, but it seems like a 50-50 split sometimes to me. Mm-hmm. Between like, oh, they're gonna play with this kitchen set for a long time, or they're never gonna touch this dinosaur ever again.
But somehow it'll end up on the floor and I'll have to pick it up.
Yeah, or I'll step on it.
Yeah.
So these are going to be all games that you can play without any toys or equipment required. Most of these are great imagination building games or listening skills games. And for a lot of them, I have a typed out rule set. So if you're driving and you're like, oh, that sounds like a great game, but I'm never going to remember all these rules and I'm driving and I can't write them down, I will post a link to that rule set on Chronicles of Nannia on Facebook and the website. So that will be there for you. So don't fear not. You don't have to fear, because the rules to a lot of these newer games will be out there for you, written down already. So yeah, let's start with some give me really easy ones that come to mind when you think of no equipment needed. So hide and go seek. Great game. I love it. And it can get complicated because sometimes kids hide in places that are bad, like in the dryer. Have you ever experienced that?
Not in the dryer, but like sometimes in the storage rooms, like they pull out the big tubs and they get behind the tubs.
Yeah.
They can't get them out without taking about like 8 tubs out.
Yeah. And I'm like, your initiative is great.
There's like a video going around right now on Facebook, and this child has managed to get himself stuck behind the drawers in like an armoire.
No.
And you cannot see any part of the child. You just hear his voice coming from it. And I don't know if he like laid his body down on a bottom drawer, slid it in, and then somehow stood up.
Or, oh my gosh.
The dad's like video recording. He's like, how did you get
yeah.
in?
Yeah.
This piece of furniture.
That's hilarious, and also must have been terrifying yeah. for the child, but I'm also like, natural consequences, bud.
Yeah, I'm sure if you know like a firefighter, they have like probably pretty good stories where children have managed to hide themselves.
Oh, I bet. Yes. So yeah, so when I play hide and seek with my kiddos, depending on age range and ability, I sometimes limit it to one floor of the house, because if they're young and stairs are iffy, then I am like, we're just going to stay on this floor, and you can hide anywhere on this floor. But it needs to be on this floor. And then as they get older, then they can go, you know, I'm like, wherever in the house, but not in the dryer.
Yeah, in the house is like a main rule. You cannot go outside.
Yes. Yeah, and then sometimes with kids, I like to play sardines too. Which is where someone goes and hides, and then as people find, and only one person hides, and then as you find them, you hide with them.
Oh.
And then the last person to find them is it for the next round, is the person to go hide.
I have never heard about.
Yeah, it's kind of a fun twist and can like shake it up if you've played hide and go seek a million times and you're like, I'm good. And then I always joke, sometimes if I'm tired and they want to play hide and go seek, then I'm like, okay, I'm going to give you extra time. I'm going to give you 60 seconds. And it's just so I can close my eyes for a minute.
Yeah.
I'm still listening. I'm still aware. But then I have an excuse to shut my eyes for one whole minute. And it's great. But
who hasn't done that?
I know, right? And that's also more with older kids, because little ones, just understanding the concept of hide and go seek can be difficult sometimes. But yeah, so that's a great one. I also love I Spy, which kind of brings us to the category of games that you can play like waiting in line or waiting at a doctor's office or in a car, where you don't have to move around a lot. And these are great for the holiday season because a lot of times we're running extra errands for our nanny families. The post office lines are really long, or you're traveling for the holidays. So I Spy is a great one. And you can do a lot of variations on it.
Mm-hmm.
As they start to be able to read, sometimes you can like have them like I Spy a word that starts with R, which helps build on their reading ability, which is really great. But then for younger kids, just working with colors or shapes, it's mm-hmm. a great way to do that.
What I tend to do, especially when we're in the car, we do, I sing the ABCs, and then I'll probably like sing counting to 20, which takes as much attention as singing to the radio. So we do that a lot, and she'll like mimic back to me.
Yeah, I think even just like singing songs is a mm-hmm. great way to pass the time in the car. You know, the ABCs or the Itsy Bitsy Spider, and they can do the hand movements. And if you're driving, then you can not do the hand movements.
Because my little one has the tendency to get a little antsy when she's thrown the toy on the side of the car and, Sarah, pick it up. Sarah, pick it up. I'm driving.
Yes.
Sarah can't help right now. They have no concept, especially if you're out of light. Well, the car is stopped, so I don't see why you can't help me.
Yeah. I've had to have that talk several times with my littlest one. Or if he finishes snack, he wants me to take his container, like, right then. I'm like, you gotta hold on to it, bud, until we get there.
It is. There's nothing quite as terrifying. Maybe like sneezing while you're driving. But have you ever had a shoe thrown at you while
you're
trying to drive?
Yeah.
It is. Oh, we had to have a talk after that. But.
Mm-hmm. But yes, I think playing some games in the car can help. Another really good one, and this is better for older kids, but is 20 mm-hmm. questions.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And so if there's anyone that doesn't know the rules to that, one person thinks of a person, place, or thing, and they tell them. You can play it either way by saying it's a person, place, or thing, or they have to use some of their questions. With kids, I usually tell them if it's a person, place, or mm-hmm. thing. And then the kids or whoever's guessing has up to 20 questions to try to figure it out. And they all have to be yes or no questions. And so that's a really fun game to play that doesn't. You don't need to move around. And back to singing the ABCs, something if you're waiting in line mm-hmm. or in a doctor's office, signing the ABCs is really helpful because it gets their hands involved and their brains, and they're learning basic sign language, which is great.
Brilliant.
Yeah, my
stepdad. If you're
really good at it, you can be quiet. Yeah, my stepdad used to do that with me. He would teach me like basic sign language because he's fluent in sign language. And whenever we had to like wait somewhere, he would teach me basic sign language. And then he and I kind of developed our own signals to each other, like at parties and stuff, which was really fun and cute and a nice bonding thing.
Did you have the I'm ready to leave now?
Yes, yes. The ready
to go. I've
heard
of like families having that sign.
Yeah, but I mean, it was literally that I would sign like that I'm ready, which is making the letter R and putting – or making the letter R with both hands, putting them in front of your body, and then moving outwards from your body out to the sides. But yeah, so that's a really good one. And if you've done it enough, then if you're singing the ABCs in the car, they can choose to do sign language in the back seat if they want. And that's also potentially you could do with quite young children, especially if you're mm-hmm. working in a household where they are teaching baby sign language. You can kind of work through that. and then another popular one, which actually Katie Leinecke, who's been on several times, she and I played this game on our way to Baltimore for Nanny Palooza, which is the license plate game, where you find all of the license plates for all 50 states.
Did you ever find Hawaii?
No, we still haven't. It's driving us bonkers. Katie sent me a picture of, like, we found, like, Quebec and Washington, D.C. I mean, Washington, D.C., we were in Baltimore, so that one's easy. But, like, Quebec and all these other, and I found one, like, this Ireland. It was an Irish license plate. And I was like, Ireland, but not Hawaii? What? I don't understand.
I've seen a Hawaii license plate before, but it's kind of like, I probably car stay there, you know?
Yeah, it costs quite a bit of money to get them over. And then I think, you know, if you do that, you're most likely living in the States, and then you got to get a new license plate. But come on, just one.
Yeah, if you've seen Ireland, months. That's probably like, come on.
Yeah, and it was just the front. The back was from like Michigan or something, but anyway, the license plate game, you're trying to get all 50 states. And actually, there is an app on your phone. If you type in like license plate game, it's I think the first one that comes up, that will give you can hit in which states you found. So this is really only if you have two adults in the car, if you're going on like quite a long road trip. Or a kid that is good with a phone that you trust. But it also tells you facts about that state, which is really cool.
That is cool. If you had a middle schooler or
school
age child.
And you see it on a map. So you're also getting to like interact with where all the states are, which is always helpful. So that one for a road trip, I would highly recommend. And you can also just write it down on a piece of paper, or maybe remember it, but not me. But yeah, so that's a really good one to play when you're stuck in the car. Yeah, and I think that's it for me. Did you have any others that are good for like waiting in line or in a car?
Well, so for waiting in line, especially if you have a little one who's sitting in the child seat in a cart, we do the copying faces game.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we do like mimicking of that and like do different emotions.
Yeah, those are all really
great.
We
did a lot of that and holding up, you know, whatever's in the cart or anything that's in arm's reach at a grocery store that you don't think they're going to scream because they want it. But it's like, what is this? What color is this?
Yes. Yes. I love that. Yeah. And a lot of these type of games are things you just find because you're like, I really need for you to not have a tantrum. A lot of my best game moments have come from, I can tell you're about to melt down and we have to like check out or we have to like make it from point A to point B. And so I'm trying to prevent the inevitable by redirecting for a few minutes. So yeah, those are all great. And the mirror game of like mirroring emotions back to each other helps teach empathy and emotional intelligence. So that's a really great game to play. And yeah, you don't have to have any equipment, which is great.
And kids think it is hilarious.
They really do.
I
should
get really dramatic with it.
Yes, which is always fun. Another thing that I do because of my acting background, but I think anyone could do it, is I sometimes, if we're like in a cart, I'll start talking in different dialects and they either think it's really funny or they get really mad because they don't like that my voice sounds different. So if they get mad, then I stop. But if they think it's funny, then I can do a bunch of different accents. And then we just have the same conversation, but in a dialect. And then it's hilarious. And then they start trying to do it. And that's really cute, too.
I cannot do accents, but whenever I start singing one song that I know she knows, she'll say, no. And then she'll throw out something so random. Sing Mickey Mouse songs. She's seen like 30 seconds of a Disney, like Mickey Mouse thing. That's all. It's like Mickey Mouse apparently just does something to children because she just does it now and keeps it. Like, I'm like, I don't know any Mickey Mouse songs. She just wants you to sing about Mickey Mouse. I'm like, I don't know what you want from me, kid.
One of my kids is like really into Spider-Man, and so if I'm like, "Hey, what playlist do you want to listen to on Spotify or whatever?" he'll be like, "A Spider-Man rock music." Okay. And then I find something and I'm like, I think this is close to what you want. And I put it on. And sometimes he approves and sometimes he doesn't. But that was so
If
funny.
you're what just one last thing because I thought of it is so if you're ever in a car, something I found to do is search. I use YouTube, but you always kind of have to be like a little bit wary of those. But most of the time, the ones I found, like I've never had a problem. But I search like anything they like, and then if you type book afterwards, and it usually comes up with a short like audiobook of like you know like the little golden books. They'll have those like some like a read along of those, and they'll be like 10 or 15 minutes. And those are really great because we found like pretty much anything that they could be into. There's a 15 minute read along story on YouTube somewhere.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, definitely look. And I know there's, I wish I could remember the channel, but there are longer ones that are just breakdowns of Disney movies
Oh,
and they're
nice.
told in storybook form. And those are amazing.
That's awesome. If you think of it later, will you email me and I'll put that up on the website.
I will.
Thank you. But yeah, that's really great. And this isn't necessarily no equipment needed because you need a phone, but I would also say for long. Yeah, if you are tired of listening to the same songs over and over, I would recommend the Story Pirates podcast. They have original stories that are written by kids, and then they act them out in like a radio play form, and then they interview the kid, and it's really cool. I have an episode about that that was a while ago, so if you want to learn more, go listen to that episode. But their stories are delightful, and I enjoy listening to them as much as the kids do. So I would recommend that for long road trips and plane rides and things like that, because you don't have to, you can download them and they take up less space on your phone and stuff than a video. But yeah, so those are all good, like road trip or you're stuck in somewhere games. But often, especially during the winter, especially like we're in Chicago, the winter can get brutal up here. There are some really good like cabin fever breaker games that require no equipment. So the first of which is Zookeeper. I love this game. So four, and this game you can play, I've played it with as young as three. Before that, it gets a little squirrely. Because they might not have a solid idea of what a zoo is. But so you are a zookeeper, and the kids are your animals at the zoo. And so I usually grab like a stuffed animal and I'm like, I'm gonna give Teddy a tour of the zoo. And the first place we're gonna go is to the elephant exhibit. And then I turn around with Teddy away from the kids, and then I turn back, and then they've transformed into elephants. And they have a blast with that, and they can name their own animals that they want to be. I'll be like, "Oh, Teddy, where do you think we should go next?" And then kind of like look at them, and usually they'll be like flamingos or pigs penguins or wherever. But yeah, or ask them directly, where do you think I should take Teddy? So that's a good one.
Is that the, I'm trying to remember, because you showed this to us at Nanny Palooza. When you turn around, are they supposed to freeze or do they continue the action?
They continue the action. So that, I think you're thinking of Night at the Museum, which, or Wax Museum, which I will get to. But yeah, for this one, the idea is that they're supposed to try to emulate the animal that they're supposed to be as closely as possible. And so a lot of times when I teach this at like theater camps, then we really talk about like, how does an elephant move or how does a flamingo move? Like, are they heavy or are they light? Do they move quickly or slowly? Or, you know, how does a kangaroo move? Things like that. Or like, what are some features that you think about when you think about an elephant? Like, you know, and I'll usually toss out like, it's got really big ears. What else do you notice about elephants? And so it's getting into that detail, and memory about different animals. And sometimes we pause the game because they'll like toss out an animal and then not know how to act it out. And so we then look it up or like watch a video of that animal moving around and then talk about it. And then we go back and I'm like, okay, now let's be that animal. So that one's really fun. And even older kids, I have found, really enjoy that one.
Definitely.
It gets them up and moving and helps with imagination. So, the next one is called Captain's Coming, and this is one of my favorite games. It's kind of like a spin on Simon Says. So you usually I start out as the captain, but with older kids, sometimes I will, after we've played a few times, I'll hand over the reins to one of them and say, now you're the captain. And so, and this one's for like 4 and up, I would say. So the captain then calls out commands. So if the captain says, captain's coming, which I guess technically you're not the captain if you're saying captain's coming, but I still call myself the captain. Nobody has ever called me on this fact. So if you say captain's coming, everyone stands at attention. So they're like in a salute, their legs are together, you know, stiff like a board. And they can't move from that position until the caller says at ease. If they laugh or they break from attention, they are dismissed. Which I don't play for outs, especially if you don't have, you know, very many kids, because then the game's over. But if you're playing with a big group, like on a play date, and your kids have a healthy sense of competition, then sure, play for outs. So if you say captain's coming, then they can't move until you say at ease. So that's kind of like the Simon Says aspect of it. And then there's so many other commands. There's man overboard. So one person drops to one knee and the other one stands behind them and puts a hand on their shoulder, and both scan the ocean for the person that is overboard. Or crow's nest, 3 players stand back to back and lock arms at the elbows to form a crow's nest. So some of these you can't play with just 2 kids or if you have an only child, but they're fun for groups. Lighthouse takes 2 players, so 2 players join – oh, no, it takes 3. 2 players join arms, and the 3rd person is in the middle. Walk the plank. Each player walks in a straight line and says out loud, 1, 2, 3, splash. But the way that you like get is you want to be moving quickly between all these commands, and you can make up your own if you want. And then you say captain's coming, and then try to say like walk the plank. And if they walk the plank, then they didn't, you know, they didn't wait for Eddie's. And so you're like, oh, I got you. I got you. Ha ha ha. So that's a fun one that's pirate themed. Next up is making a pizza. So for this one, you all sit in a circle or a triangle or a line. And you spread your legs, like you straddle them out as wide as you can. And that is your pizza slice. And so then you put ingredients on the pizza. And the point of this game is stretching. It works on imagination, but it also works on stretching. And for that, you're like pretending to put sauce on it. And then they can get wild with the pizza ingredients, because it's all in your imagination. So I've had kids make a pizza for a robot where they put nuts and bolts and springs on the pizza. Or a lot of times they like to make dessert pizza, or it's the holidays. So if they want to make like a cookie pizza for Santa or whatever, you can get really creative with what the ingredients that you put on your pizza. And that one you can do pretty young. I would say 2 years old and up.
Yeah, if you're like sitting across from them, if you only had one child, like foot, like put your feet together, that would mm-hmm. be fun.
Yeah, yeah. And you can kind of then do more like teamwork of like, what are we going to put on our pizza? And did we cover the whole mm-hmm. thing? And instead of everyone having their own individual slice, which when I have a bigger group, getting a whole big group to agree, not gonna happen as easily. So yeah, but if it's just you and a child deciding together what you want on your pizza, and I find that that one's a good one to do. Sometimes I do it before nap time as like kind of a wind down activity, because you're mm-hmm. seated and it's like a little more like you're just not, you know, going crazy, you're not jumping yeah. around, and you're stretching out your muscles, which feels nice before you lay down. So
yeah, you're having like some good one-on-one before,
yeah,
you know, if you're with one child.
Yeah, or right after they wake up sometimes, although it depends on the kid, because some kids are super cranky.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends on how they feel about that game, if they want to play it or not. But if you do have a kid that seems like they have a lot of excess energy, a shakedown is really fun. So this one's super simple, and this is one that I do. Like sometimes in Chicago, traffic is bad. And if we're trying to like go to a museum, we have to drive not all the way like downtown, but museum campus is, you know, you have to kind of drive through downtown and traffic can be bad. And I know that we're going to be sitting in the car. And so sometimes I will do a shakedown before we get in a car. So for a shakedown, you are all standing kind of in a circle and you put your right hand up and you shake it while you count very loudly down from 10. And you can pick what number you want to count down from, but I usually start with 10. So you shake it 10 times, and then you shake your left hand 10 times, and then your right foot, and then your left foot. And then you do it again 9 times on each, and then 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And by the time you get to 1, you want to see how quickly you can move between your limbs. And so the physical movement along with the shaking action, I find helps get a lot of like those jitters out. And then we can kind of like settle into a car ride.
Yeah, because after that, you're going to just want to sit.
Yes, because you're like out of breath. And I mean, at least I am, which then makes me question, like, I need to go to the gym more. But yeah, so that one's really fun. And then Wax Museum or Night at the Museum is the one that you mentioned earlier. So for that one, you want to explain to the students that they are all, or the kids, the nanny kids, that they are all statues in a wax museum. And you are the curator. And you can talk about what a curator is. I've also played where I am the like night guard or the janitor. You explain at the beginning that when the curator or whatever you decide to be is in the room or facing the statues cannot move or speak. So they don't want to get caught being alive, right? And so you leave the room briefly, or you can just turn your back because you know your kids, you know if you can completely leave a room or not. So then the statues come alive and they interact with each other, and then you come back in and they all freeze in their current position. And then you, as the curator or the night watchman, like talk about the statues. So if one is like laying down, you're like, oh, this is the tired prince of Peru. He was known to sleep for days on end or whatever, you know, or like, oh, no, the heat must be too high. This statue looks like it's melting. Things like that. Or like, this is a vicious battle between a dinosaur and a lion, clearly. So whatever their position makes you think of, you just call it out, which is a really nice way to make a child feel seen, to like give them attention without like demanding that they do something perfectly. There's no perfect way, no perfect position. And you can get really silly and kids think it is hilarious the sillier you get with how you explain it. But then, so you can go over to one kid and like talk about their positioning and like make sure that your back is to the other kid. And so then they try to move into a different position, and then you turn around really quick and see if you catch them moving, and then talk about them, and then the other kid moves, and back and forth and back and forth. So you can play this one for a long time. But yeah, and that one I have found takes a little bit older. I think like ages 5 to 10 for that one. but they have a lot of fun. I think some 4-year-olds can handle it, certainly.
Yeah. If they've got like older siblings especially, they can that they're watching.
Yes, that is super helpful.
Do you ever trade places and you become the statue?
Yes, for sure. And the things that they say are just so funny. That's actually my favorite because I think it's hilarious what they come up with. And, you know, you trying to be sneaky is really funny to them too.
Yeah, they get to catch you.
Yeah, and a lot of times I, like, over-exaggerate my movements and sometimes, like, I get caught on purpose or whatever, you know, just to be silly and celebrate mistakes. So yeah, so another one, and this is a really popular theater game or improv warm-up particularly, is called Zip Zap Zop. So for Zip Zap Zop, you do need at least 3 people. So this one would be very difficult to do with an only child, but if you have 2 nanny kids or more, this is a great game, or if you're on a play date. So you all stand in a circle and you point, like you put your hands together, clap them at a person. So you're like clapping them together, kind of like making an arrow and pointing at someone and making eye contact with that person. And then the person that starts it says, zip. And then the next person does the same thing to a different person in the circle and says zap. And then the third person says zop. And you want to try to get in a rhythm and see how fast you can go. And that gets really crazy. But it's also good. It helps teach concentration and eye contact, which can be difficult for some kids. But when you're mm-hmm. doing it in a silly game, I find that kids that struggle with eye contact are more willing to do it in a silly game. And if they don't make eye contact, there's beautiful natural consequences, because then the other people playing don't know who they were trying to send it to a lot of times. And so that you need that like laser focus for this game to work. And it will fall apart on its own if they're not making eye contact. So you don't even have to be like, now we gotta make eye contact. Do it. You just let it roll. And on the instructions that I'll post, there's different like levels. So you can also like take away saying the words, and so then you're just passing like the energy through eye contact and your hands pointing, which is nice if you have a headache. That's a fun game to play because it's quiet. Which, speaking of the quiet game, that's always
who can break first.
I know. Which sometimes I've had kids that really love the quiet game and like ask me to play, and I'm like, okay, but then I have other kids that really don't like it, which then we don't play.
Yeah,
it's about them.
I think you had mentioned on another episode where some children just like to play like games similar to get cozy. They want to get a pillow and a blanket and lay on the floor in a room. They're not tired. They just want to play the game of pretending to be cozy.
I love that game.
I turned off the light in the playroom. I'm like, I'm going to go get a cup of coffee. You can just keep playing.
Yeah. Or those two girls really loved making me cozy. They tried to find like all of the blankets in the house and put all, like, they wanted to spread out all of the blankets on top of me. And I was like, this is wonderful. I love this. Let's play this. And they loved it. They asked to play it all the time. So yeah, that's a good one. Although technically equipment, but it's not like toy equipment. It's blankets. Yeah. So I'll let it slide. But yeah, so that's a great one. And then the last one that I'll mention, if you visit the Chronicles of Narnia Facebook or the website www.chroniclesofnarnia.com, there are more games on here, but some of them are hard to explain on air and would be easier for you just to read the instructions. But Emotion Party, this game is so fun, and I play it with my kids, and sometimes I play it with adults at like theater parties. So for this one, each player thinks of an emotion, and so you want like to give them time, especially if it's the first time that you're playing, you want to give them time to like think of their emotion. And then one person who is quote unquote the host begins in the center of the room, and they are miming like they're setting up for a party. So the first few times we play this, I am usually the host just to help teach through doing. And then another player knocks on the door and is let in. So this can be a real door. They can be actually walking into the room, or it can be a fake door, and they can make like – they can stomp their foot to make a knocking sound, or if they can click, you know, like the – if they know that sound effect, they can do that. And then they bring in a new emotion. So and I – talk to them usually about how the bigger the emotion, the easier it is. So they bring in that they're angry, or that they're happy, or that they're sad, or and then we kind of like start building the vocabulary, so they're not just angry, they're furious or things like that. And so they come in with an emotion, and then you as the host take on that emotion, so start mirroring it back to them. So you're still miming all of the party things, like blowing up balloons or pouring drinks, and you're not using any actual equipment. You're just miming all of it. But you're doing it now through the lens of this new emotion. So that goes on for 20 to 30 seconds. And then the next kid comes in and they bring a new emotion. And then the whole party changes to that new emotion. So it's really great because it's helping teach kids to recognize emotions and that all emotions are acceptable if they're not hurting themselves or other people. And like lets them kind of experience some of those emotions without the stress of actually feeling them or having all the layers of like, I'm angry because you didn't bring me snack. things like that. Or I wanted a clementine and you gave me an apple or whatever. So that one I have a blast playing, and that most kids do too.
It is really fun. I was part of the group that helped demonstrate, and it was a blast. There might be some funny videos or photos online of it somewhere.
Yeah. If anyone's listening and they have one of those videos from Nanny Palooza, I didn't take any because I was teaching it. But yeah, it's a super fun game, and that one is also a really great one to play on a play date if you are not sure what you want to do on the play date, or if you have kids that come up and say, I'm bored. That's an excellent one to play with kids because – and then once you teach it, a lot of times you as the nanny can step away and they will keep playing it, which that – when kids like start the games or they teach it to a friend, those are some of my favorite moments of like, oh, I taught you this game and now you've made it your own and you're off and flying by yourself. So yeah, those are my like top favorite games to play. I'm sure that there are tons and tons and tons that we left out. But did you have any others, Sarah?
I think I have one more. Forgive me if it's similar to something we've already mentioned.
That's okay.
I find this works really well with children who are still getting adjusted to using their gross motor skills. So we do a game and it's typically like, I'll be saying walking, walking, and they'll walk to the tune and then I'll be running, 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 and I'll change the action and they'll do it, which is good if you have to run around a kid around the house when it's 30 degrees outside. So that's really great. If you had a bunch of kids, that could probably get pretty chaotic really quick. But if you have one little person, and that could be done outside too if the weather's nice.
Right. But no, that's a great one. Or honestly, sometimes I'm like, we're going to run from the front door to the back door 10 times. Mm-hmm. I'm going to time you. Go. When I'm just like, you have too much energy.
We're going to hop. Let's see how many times we can hop in place. Let's just try to get energy out. Sometimes they just need to move.
Yeah. And there are a lot of games that you can play with like a painter's tape on the ground.
Oh, I love painter's tape.
Yes, it's so wonderful. So if you are stuck inside, technically that does require one piece of equipment, but I think that's okay. If you're stuck inside, it basically serves the same purpose kind of as chalk, but you can tape out hopscotch, or we've made like racetracks on the ground for Hot Wheels and things like that. So that's a good cabin fever breaker, which I probably will have an episode of just cabin fever breakers in January or February, because those are the months where
you're gonna like, need it.
We're It is negative 12 outside, so we really can't go.
I can't even get to the car.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, those are all, I think, really good to get you started. But if you're listening at home and you're like, but wait, I have this game that I love to play and they didn't talk about it. And I think that Martha and Sarah and all the Chronicles of Narnia listeners would love it. Please email it in to chroniclesofnarnia@gmail.com. I would love to, with your permission, post it on Facebook or share it on a future episode. So yeah, and I'm always wanting to learn new games. So if you have one that you just adore that works really well, please send it my way. I will be forever grateful. Cool. Well, we end each episode with a funny, cute, uplifting story. And I have kind of brought one this time. I'm somewhat running out, guys. So if you have one at home, please send it into Chronicles of Narnia, because I'm always looking for cute ones to end the podcast. And but so my littlest one, we went to the library recently, and he loves Spider-Man and all the Marvel guys, and we found this Marvel joke book, and a lot of them he doesn't get because they're based on Marvel characters and he doesn't know their special powers and they're, you know, puns. But he's now started making up his own and they get pretty ridiculous. So like one is like, why did the chicken cross the road? Because it was actually a dinosaur. Like, good job, bud. Very funny. Or like, why does Hulk say Hulk smash? Because he's green. Yep. Good job, friend. It's pretty cute. I really love him working through trying to make up new jokes. It is. And they're, and like, it's nonstop. I'm surprised. It seems bottomless, his ability to. He certainly understands like setup punchline. He just maybe doesn't get the connection between the setup and punchline. But he does the rhythm correctly every time, and I really appreciate it. So awesome. Very, very cute. But yeah, well, thank you so much, Sarah.
You're welcome. I had so much fun.
Yeah, this is always lovely. And thank you all for listening. Well, we actually won't see you next week. I was about to do my normal sign off, but next week is Christmas Eve is the release date. And so I'm going to take that week off. So I will see you all in 2 weeks. Thank you for listening.
Chronicles of Narnia is produced and hosted by Martha Reddick. Artwork by Noni Amadon. Theme music by Brad Kemp. Find him at secondbedroomstudio.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Chronicles of Narnia and on Twitter at Narnia Podcast. To contact us, email chroniclesofnarnia@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
This show has been brought to you by Machine Culture.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.